In our gospel this morning, we have three miserable women. They were there at the cross, watching as Jesus died. They were there as they saw Joseph of Arimathea take Jesus down dead and put him into a tomb. They were there when they saw the stone rolled in front of that cave. They were there, and they are sad. They're miserable. And so fast did things happen, and with the timing of where the Sabbath came, that these women couldn't even do what they wanted to do to adorn Christ's body. They wrapped him in a linen cloth, but they didn't get to put the traditional spices and ointments and anointing that they wanted to do on Christ's body, the proper burial rites. And so they had to wait for the Sabbath to be over. And as soon as the Sabbath was over, they went out and bought the appropriate things. But by that time, it was already dark. And so they waited till early on that Sunday morning to go out to the tomb to do these things for Jesus. And so much in their grief are they that they're not even sure what's going to happen when they get there, because this stone is rolled in front of the tomb. And it's a sizable piece of rock. It would take several men to roll it in front or away, and they just weren't sure what was going to happen. And I'm sure as they're walking towards this cemetery and this tomb, this place of death, that they couldn't help but relive the moments and the scenes from just a few nights before, a few days before. All the beatings and the anguish and the agony that they saw upon Christ, and the horrors of Thursday and Friday, as they're walking, I'm sure they're bracing themselves. There's a real pain that they're experiencing, because for them, Christ's death was more than just a death. It truly was the loss of hope. There must have been feelings of full and utter despair, deflation. I can't think of anything that must compare to what these women and the rest of the disciples must have experienced. Christ's death was a complete defeat, and really it must have felt like the complete reversal of everything they had experienced for the last 3 years. You think about it, what purpose does all the healings have that Christ did throughout those years of ministry? What purpose do those healings have now? In Mark's gospel, they are especially to show us the authority of Jesus. What authority does he have if he's dead? What about the miraculous feedings? What is that now, more than just a meal for a group of people for one day? What does that do? What about all the demons that Christ cast out? And Mark's gospel is full of that, of casting demons out. What does that tell us now if he's dead? And the teachings, they don't fix death on their own. And in fact, they probably do just the opposite. They show us just how far short of God's plan for us they really are. All these things, this whole life that Jesus had, and the life that these women and the disciples had as they followed Christ around, they're all meaningless now. There's no purpose in them. If Christ is truly dead, then even the forgiveness that he spoke about, it's not complete. It is something for this world only. Death still is the end of us. There's no life beyond it. It's the final judgment. The Apostle Paul will reflect upon this in 1 Corinthians 15. And 1 Corinthians 15 is a fantastic chapter. The whole chapter is dedicated to the resurrection of Christ, and we got just a sampling of it this morning, but later on, I think it's in verse 19, Paul says this, And if Christ has not been raised, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then all those who have fallen asleep in Christ, that is, all those who had faith in Christ in life and have died, well, they have perished. If in this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. That word pitied could also be miserable. We are truly miserable people if we come here Sunday after Sunday and in Lent, Wednesday after Wednesday, if we come here on Maundy Thursday, if we come here on Good Friday, if we bring our kids to Sunday school, if we do all these things, we are truly miserable people, people who should be pitied if Christ is not raised from the dead. Because every little bit of it is meaningless. If Christ is dead, the women will just find a body to adorn, assuming they can move the stone. And those who followed Christ in life, the disciples, and all these other people whom he affected, will still live in the misery of their sin. The status quo remains. Nothing has been changed. Imagine today that we were at a funeral. And right here at the end of the rail here that comes down onto the floor, there's a casket there. And instead of Easter lilies, we have maybe an array of different kind of flowers. And in that casket is your loved one. Maybe it's your mom or your dad, or it's your brother, sister, it's your child, it's your spouse. It could be anyone. It's a friend. What would we say if there's no resurrection? What would I even be able to do? I couldn't stand up here. I would have nothing to say. All we could do is remember the person. All we could do is talk about the good things they did in life, the way they affected us. But in the reality, they're still dead. There would be nothing. Nothing. I am privileged as a pastor to be able to visit people in the hospital and at the nursing homes. And it, more often, it's becoming something I tend to be doing more often, is that I'm visiting people towards the end of their lives in these hospitals. And you faithful people of Peace Lutheran Church, the people I've gotten to visit, I've been privileged to sit there with a few of you and for you to actually tell me that you're not afraid. That you know your time is coming, but that you know in whose hands you are held. And it is all because of what we celebrate on this day. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is such an amazing thing to sit there and to see a person lying in their deathbed, and they know they are in their deathbed, yet not to have fear of death, because they believe in Jesus, who died for them and who was raised for them. We have hope. We have something of substance that we can say at a funeral. We have something of substance that we can proclaim as a rite of victory when we have the casket up here in front of us. The stone was rolled away. The angel has good news. Now the women are still alarmed, they're distressed, but when they hear the new good news, for them it eventually all comes together. There is forgiveness of sins. Christ is the authority He is the power over demons. He is the power over the elements, these things that He created. He is God. Death was not His ending, and so it will not be ours. His tomb is empty. And someday, for those in faith, yours will be too. This is our good news of this day. This is the day that we definitively have what the rest of the world desperately wants. And so what does the angel tell the women? He says, now go and tell this good news. Go tell the disciples, because they right now feel like they are the most to be pitied, that they have no hope. You go and tell them that Jesus is risen from the grave and that He's going to meet you in Galilee. Tell a world full of people who have no hope that there is hope. This is the resurrection. Let us pray. Oh, gracious and merciful Father, thank You for the truth of this day. And as we confessed, we pray that You would help us to have faith, to have no fear in this life, to know that our death is not our end, but that You have so much more planned for us. We pray, O Lord, that You would give us faith, but also that You would give us courage as we go into this world and we look around at people who are dying and need Your hope, need Your life, need to have faith in Christ, to receive Him, to believe, and to know what He has done for them. Help us now, O Lord, to go and tell. We pray this in Your name. Amen.